What's up?
Hey. What's up?
What's up? What's up? Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, Barty, you're late. Josh is sounding real good, and Michael is still dealing with the white stuff. All that and more on Late Night. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael! Hey, welcome everybody to the Late Night QRM show number 90. From the spring-filled area, southwest area of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the also very springy and birds are in the air, southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from the Tug Hill Plateau of central New York, where we still have a little bit of snow, but nothing like what's in Copper Harbor, this is Barty.
And quoting a picture I've seen on Facebook all over the place, spring stopped installing at about 40% and it's become unavailable in this area. I'm Michael, the virtual Youper, after about 2 feet of snow since the last show.
Oh, God. I can't believe it. You posted that picture. Unbelievable. There's still 3 feet of snow, and that's just, well, that's permafrost now, isn't it?
Well, that's what it's melted down to.
Permafrost is a different type of soil.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's a glacier, then, that started. The Copper Harbor Glacier.
What was that?
What?
That was Josh laughing.
Oh.
Or was it a cat? I thought I heard a cat.
No. Well, my wife took the time right just now to put down the garage door, which is directly beneath me. So you might have heard that.
It was interesting, whatever it was.
So, yes, it's been... well, we got a little bit of snow on Friday, which I didn't appreciate whatsoever, and it quickly melted Saturday morning. So, but here we're starting to get some flowers, and dare I say, the grass is actually turning green.
No way.
Yeah, I'm sure it is in Copper Harbor too.
There's no snow here in the beautiful southeast area of New Hampshire where I'm at all. There's no snow. All green grass.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we see very little grass, and it hasn't recovered from winter yet. It still thinks that more snow is coming. And it's still hunkering down.
Well, yesterday was pretty nice. It was up in the 50s, probably pushing 60. But today it was back down and cold, down in the 40s, I guess, and cold. So it's that time of year where it's up and down with the temperature. Here, at least. But I did hear last night, for the first time, I heard peepers. So, that's a first.
Well, my pond is still frozen. So, there'll be no peepers here for a while.
There'll be no peeping, and you'll like it.
Yeah. So, I forgot.
Quiet. We have peace and quiet at night still, so.
I forgot to. There we go.
Seriously, guys. Go to weather.gov and click on radar.
Weather.gov.
You'll see what my next day is going to be like.
Alrighty then.
Let me see.
You'll see that one part of the country does not look like the other.
Which one of these things doesn't look like the other?
That's what I was just starting to say. We think of like Jess.
That was intentional.
Let's see.
He guided us.
Forecast past weather. We don't want to look at past weather.
Yeah, he set us up, and we fell for it.
Forecast weather. Look at that map. Isn't that? Look at the pretty pinks and purples.
click on the radar. It's even better.
I'm looking at the live radar. It's like, I'm surprised it's not doing anything right now. It looks like it's right on. Oh, no. It's just the tip is just getting over toward you.
Yeah, it's kind of like reverse Space Invaders with the, you know, the animation there. Dump, 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 dump.
All weather heading for Copper Harbor.
Reverse Space Invaders, they're getting out before the snow comes.
Unbelievable. You're going to get clobbered again, it looks like. Or
it's still.
He's still.
Unbelievable. And like aside from a little bit of precipitation, on the northern side of Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, realistically, the whole rest of the country is pretty much no precipitation in the sky whatsoever. Just your area, which is and a little bit of Florida, which, you know, it won't be snow. It'll be rain in Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, and West Virginia. Wow.
Yeah, that front goes from Sault Ste. Marie to North Dakota, and it's coming this way.
Jeez.
Okie dokie.
You better hunker down, man.
Yeah.
Really?
Run down a lot of wood. And keep a lot of propane handy.
You better get lots of toilet paper and store it in the house.
Red cases of beer. Toilet paper.
Exactly.
Well, we got a brewery. We're covered there.
There you go.
Yeah, you would have to.
Oh, jeez. Well, let's get an update. How's the calf? No, not you. Josh. Then we'll get an update from you.
That was him.
Oh, well, that was Josh? Sorry.
It's much more betterer. That's the medical terminology for it. It's still sore. My left leg's twice. Left calf is twice the size of my right calf.
Mm-hmm.
However, with that tightness, it's actually just the swelling's going down a little bit. It's mostly moved towards my foot, which means it was bleeding in there, and it slowly it filled up my leg full of fluid and blood and yada yada yada, which is to be expected. I've Googled and blogged this thing a lot. A lot of medical websites try and find out, is this normal? Because I was becoming a bit concerned. But yeah, it doesn't hurt constantly anymore. I've weaned myself off the Percocets that the doctor prescribed, so I'm just taking the Advil. Honestly, I'm actually walking around. I'm not walking well. A little bit more like the Quasimodo or the Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's my normal gait now, but at least I'm moving.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's healing up. I mean, but they really, truly, 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 truly do mean when they say 6 to 8 weeks before you're healed up. I could see that because it will have been 2 weeks this Wednesday.
Wow.
Since I injured it. And,
that's right.
Any other wound? Hell, I've had bones mend faster than this.
Yeah. And you're taking it easy at work, right?
Yeah. I'm flying the Starship cubicle an awful lot. So, you know, I got 3 monitors set up in front of me doing a lot of AutoCAD work. And I get up as little as possible. And if it involves, you know, I try and plan my trips accordingly. Okay, I've got to go to the men's room. So I better stop here. Here, here, and here along the way. Drop off whatever documents I need to. Because once I get up once and then once I come back, I ain't getting up for another couple of hours. And that's how I'm planning it.
That's good. That's a good plan.
So it's working out good. I will say this much. And Michael, I have, for those like yourself, medical professionals, I can say I see the benefit of the design of the Aircast, however, it could also be looked upon as an implement of torture when you have that damn thing air bladdered filled and secured to an appendage of one's body. I bruised my leg so effing bad trying to walk around with that thing on Monday, and it's supposedly a walking air cast, that on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it stayed at home and I went to work.
Really?
Yes. I hurt my leg so bad Monday trying to move around with that thing on. And I couldn't actually walk well with it. It's weighted so it's, you know, it minimizes the amount of weight you can it maximizes the amount of weight you can put on your bad leg, but in my case, I could still put a fair amount of load on my left leg and walk. And with the boot, I couldn't. And so I kept kind of shifting around my leg, and the back of this cast was kind of like smacking the back, right where I tore the damn muscle.
Oh, jeez.
It kept banging into it, and I tightened it up, and it would kind of just put pressure on it even some more. Now, compression is what you want. However, I got home Monday, got into the house. The missus said, she took one look on my face, and the fact that I had beads of sweat just rolling off of me from the pain, and I... 2 Percocet, 1 Flexerol, 4 Advil, and a brandy. And I sat in a chair, and I took this thing off my foot. And, you drop your trousers, and I said, look at my leg. And the whole thing was black and blue. I mean, from damn near the bottom of my knee to the top of my foot was black and blue. It had swollen 4 times its normal size. And I said, I ain't never putting that effing thing on my body again. Matter of fact, I'll run that thing through a chipper before I ever put it on me.
Hey.
You might.
$390 cast. And so I said, quite honestly, tomorrow, if I can get up, and I barely was able to make it, when I go to work, I'm not bringing it with me. I'm going to take an ACE bandage. I'm going to wrap an ACE bandage around here because you still need the compression to try and help that muscle heal. But just... it has to be more flexible. And ACE bandage, put your trousers on. I had to undo my my sneakers, and because I couldn't get it on my left, my sneakers on my left, my shoe on my left foot, without really loosening up the laces because my foot had swelled up so much, you know, full of, and it's blood, let's face it, it's bleeding inside. So, and since Tuesday till Friday, it just kept progressively getting better. And hurting less and hurting less and hurting less. So I'm doing good, guys. There are moments, if 7 days from now it continues at the rate it's at, it will take an extreme amount of convincing me that I won't be able to take the old Elvira down the street for a little, you know, for pick up a couple cigars, you know. That's what I'm worried about. I'm like, I don't feel good. Does not feel good at all, and I can't put a load of weight on it. But I thought, well, once I get that left foot up on the running board, it's resting.
Wow.
All it has to do is shift. Well, that's all in the toe.
And lean toward the right when you, so that you can prop your Elvira up with your right leg,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. But then you still gotta throw the kickstand down with your left foot. There's still a lot of left leg motion involved that... like I said, at this point, no way, but we'll see how it goes in 7 days, because if the weather keeps getting better and I keep feeling better, I don't know. It could be a ride up to Studio Jaffrey could be in order.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
make sure you're not home that day.
Yeah, when I pull into his driveway and I'm going, oh, God, my leg's killing me. I just want to get in this house and relax. I'm like,
and all the curtains start closing.
No one's going to answer the door. I got to ride it 60 miles home now.
You're always welcome. You know that.
Doesn't mean to let you in, but you're always welcome.
You can sleep right there in the driveway. No,
yeah, that's right. Oh, geez. So Barty had a trip. And you drove?
I down to Virginia and enjoyed some nice warm weather for a while. And it was, the timing was really rather nice because the furnace here died
really?
The night before we were supposed to leave. So it was nice to be able to get nice warm showers for a week.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You lucked out.
Yeah. Well, when we got back, hit the reset, then it powered back up, which was a good thing. But... it's gone out twice now since we've been home, so I don't really know just what the long-term thing is. We're probably going to have someone come in and take a look at it.
Was it okay when you got back, or is it still
yeah,
out?
Yeah, it had been off the entire week we were gone. Uh-huh. We walked into the house, and it was 40 degrees outside and 42 degrees inside.
Oh, warm.
Yeah, well, compared to when we left, I mean,
yeah.
It was definitely warmer, but considered to where we were, it was cold as hell. Because wow. I don't think the nighttime lows got down in the 40s down in Virginia. We were down in Springfield, and... I just hit the reset on the furnace, and it fired back up.
Oh, good.
And I woke up, I guess it was about 4 o'clock yesterday morning, went down because it was cold in here. It was like 60. Hit the reset, nothing. And I hit the reset a few times. You know, every so often I'd go down, and it was about 4 tries before it finally fired up. Mm. So I think the igniter probably needs to be cleaned or replaced.
Yeah, sometimes
we're getting fuel and things, and everything's coming up right. It's just not igniting and flaming up.
Okay,
it's a boiler, you know. So
sometimes we've had a couple times when ours acted like that. It was a solenoid or whatever that went bad. It's like
solenoid, yeah.
Yeah, solenoid that went bad, and we had to get that replaced a couple times. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't mess with things where a mistake could cause your house to get burnt down.
No. I always call somebody in, too. But the guy showed me how to replace a solenoid. Because he goes, you can pay me $90 to come here, or you can go get one for $15 and replace it yourself, you know, because it's a plug-in type thing.
I was looking on the instructions for our particular type of furnace. It's our boiler. It's a Bryant.
Uh-huh.
And the solenoid isn't quite that easy to replace. There's a lot of parts you got to take off and put back in the proper place. And I figured, I think it's worth paying somebody $90 to do it right.
Yeah.
Have him come back and fix it if it isn't right. You know,
right.
Like I said, I don't mess with things that could cause me to burn the house down. Like, I don't do anything with the wiring in the house, you know, because you make a mistake with the wiring, you can burn the house down. So I don't mess with that. The plumbing, I don't care. All you can do is throw water everywhere, and, you know, that eventually dries. So, you know, I'm adventurous with the plumbing. I'll do anything with plumbing, you know. But, the wiring and the furnace and, you know, things that involve fire, I just kind of like let other people that are more qualified and have a clue of what they're doing deal with it.
It was a pretty boring week here. Nothing exciting going on. Work was a little busy, but other than that, But yesterday, Samson and I took our first trip down since the snow is gone to the Beaver Pond, which is a nice trail that's about a mile down to the Beaver Pond. And Samson loves it. I like being off the road. That's nice when you go for a walk. And Sam loves it because he sniffs everywhere. I mean, he's all over the place sniffing and everything. And it was a nice little trip. Good to see that the trail's still in good condition. A couple trees fell. They have to be cleared out probably. We had to jump over them. But spring is definitely in the air. And we only ran into one black fly. Unfortunately, really? It was in my mouth.
But. Oh, yay!
That's what made me just switch from a three-quarters helmet to a full helmet, was eating too many bugs riding down the road on my motorcycle.
I like that. What was that one commercial where they motorcyclist and smiled and they had bugs all over his teeth?
Yeah, when I first started the ride, that was me. And then I decided, I'm too old for this shit. I went and got a full face helmet and put up with washing them off the face shield. That was a lot better than washing them off my teeth.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow. So, yep. So, spring is definitely in the air, even though winter likes to show up a little bit here and there still. But hopefully it's... sorry, Michael. It sounds like winter has moved in and decided to stay a while up there.
My install has definitely failed.
But look on the bright side, you know. Skiing might be good in July. You'll probably get a...
Skiing is still...
You don't have to mow.
Yeah, the skiing is definitely still good. I had another patient with a broken leg this week.
Oh.
A lot of broken legs this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the skills, the ski hill is still open.
Yeah, I would say so. With 3 feet of hard packed snow, and then nightly, 6 inches of powdery stuff on top. I mean,
yeah, I'm looking at the statistics as of Friday. Yeah. Well, actually, as of yesterday, we've had 277 inches with an average snow depth on the ground right now of 41 inches.
Hey, you need to go up and take a picture of your snowmometer. Isn't that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, it's snowmometer. I'm actually looking at the snowmometer site right now. That's where I'm getting the info.
Oh, okay. I have to repost a picture in our private area.
Okay. Now that we're all there, now you have to send an invite to Bob. We'll draw him back in yet.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get him back in. But
get him back for the 100th show, you know?
There we go. 100th
show. Closing in on it.
Closing in on 100 shows, and we're also, I think it's next week. Yeah, next week is our third anniversary.
So. Well, hot damn.
Yeah.
We'll have to get dressed up.
Oh, geez.
We started the show, and I was sitting on my porch outside.
That's right.
MacBook, remember?
Yes.
I don't think I'm going to be doing that next week yet.
That is right. Well, I think you didn't join us until May.
If you bundle up, you can do it.
Yeah,
it was a couple of shows down here.
Right? Yeah, you. I think you came in May, but seriously, at the rate you're going, you're still going to have 5 or 6 feet of snow in May. We're halfway through April, and you got 3 feet on the ground with whatever's coming tonight at you.
Well, I don't know. That kind of depends on the weather, because we've had springs where we had like 3 or 4 feet, and we got like a whole week of like 60-degree temperatures with a lot of heavy pouring rain, and the whole friggin' place flooded. Excuse me.
Yeah, that could happen.
There have been times I've been driving through the city of Rome coming out of work, and there was so much flooding that all the debris that the water was carrying clogged up all the gutters and the sewers, and all the water just got up to like about 6 to 8 inches in the road. So the police weren't letting cars through, but they were letting, you know, trucks and jeeps through.
Wow.
So, you know, I was like cruising through all this water and stuff like that, and it was the type of thing that went on for a whole month.
Wow.
And it kind of like tore up a lot of water that tore up the ground and stuff.
Well, if that happens up in Copper Harbor, there will not be a Copper Harbor. It'll just be part of Lake Superior.
What are these gutters and sewers you talk about?
That's down in the city of Rome.
We're built on bedrock here. So, I mean, it's an island about 50 miles long, and I think at its widest it's probably about maybe 20. But it's a ridge, so when it all melts, it just goes right into Lake Superior.
Well, it's like up here, up on the Tug Hill, all the water that from any kind of weather pattern like that all flows away from us. And it's like everybody else on the flatlands that catches it all. They're the ones that end up with, like, you know, heavy water in the streets and things like that, you know. Both of our vehicles are tall enough that it makes no difference. You know, we can cruise through all of that without any problem.
Yeah. Wow.
So, what is an SDR?
Ah, well, let me tell you what an SDR is. It's called Software Defined Radio, and basically, what it is you get a little. Basically analog to digital converter, and it will do you hear that? Oh, that was that was something going up the street.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know, but it was like reverberating in there.
My truck's in the shop.
Yeah.
I'm sitting over here.
That's not Elvira. So.
And I'm sitting over here. And Mike's over there.
Yeah. And wow.
And I still heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, over 12 here we
miles
did.
Away and I heard it.
That's what happens when it's still light when we're recording. People are out in the road anyway. Anyway, so an SDR, software defined radio. So you basically get an analog to digital converter, and it does it wideband. So wait a minute, I got a cough. I'm going to turn off the mic for a minute. Of course, you guys heard that, but they didn't. So it just digitizes whatever it hears out on the in the radio waves, but it's a very raw digitization of an analog what's out there into digital, and then you pipe that into your you pipe it into your computer via usually an audio jack to your sound card. And basically what this little conversion box does, not only does it digitize it, but it also puts it down into the range that your sound card can work with. And then they have software that takes that digitized a signal and does what a normal radio would do to it in hardware, only it does it all in software. And so you can decode it, and if it's audio, you can play audio out. If it's a digital signal, you can process the digital signal and produce it. And it's the latest and greatest craze going on, especially in amateur radio, because the computers have gotten so fast now, and they can handle this stuff. And contesters and emergency prep people are really interested in software-defined radio, because contesters like it because you can have basically a graph of your entire bandwidth, your band spectrum there, and then you see the peaks where signals are, and then you just run and put your cursor on a peak, and boom, it starts, you know, you start hearing that. And so you can monitor an entire band, per se, at the same time, all at the same time, and then pick up the signals. And in some cases, if you've got some sophisticated software, you can actually sit there and decode. If it's digital, you can decode several signals at once and just kind of store that in logs or whatever. But the contesters like it because in the old days, they'd have to be constantly flipping around looking for signals. But now they can see it. They can see all the signals popping up, and they can just go put their cursor on it and make the contact, and then go and see where the next one is and put their cursor on that and make a contact. It's just a different way of doing things, and everything's going into software. Also, it's a lot cheaper and less hardware parts to put one of these things on. And so my birthday's coming up, so I basically bought myself an early birthday present, and there's a company out there called SoftRock that makes these things. And it's a kit, so basically you get a printed circuit board and all the pieces and parts, and it's small.
Yeah, it goes into a PC.
Yeah, and then it goes into a PC. I think it actually even gets powered from a USB port, and then
you said it was a card, so. Does it plug into the card interface?
No. It's just when I say a card, it's a printed circuit board, and then usually you put it in a box or something.
Okay. I thought you meant it was like an interface card that you plugged into your bus.
No. It's just a card. You put it in a small box, but it does have USB. I believe it gets its power from the USB port, and then of course the signal going into the computer, the digitized signal, goes into your input. Your audio input, which goes to the sound card. And then there's several free software packages out there that you can get the signal and do everything. And the other nice thing about it is you can do so much filtering and everything. And if you're on the ham bands, a lot of these real expensive radios, you pay good money to get hardware filters so that you can tune in and just get that one signal that you want to listen to. Well, with the software, it does it all in software, and it's you know, you can filter it down. They have a graph of your signal, and they got it. Then you zoom in on the actual signal you want, and then you can move the sides in, and it filters out everything but the signal you want. And it's just it's an excellent receiver.
And wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and of course, you know, and Barty, you know, because you've got a nice receiver, ICOM receiver, yeah. And you know that thing was. How much was that going for back in the day?
Well, my first receiver was a Kenwood R1000.
Okay.
That cost me hundreds of dollars to buy.
Okay.
And the second receiver I bought was a Grundig, and that one is a whole lot smaller and about half the price with twice the capabilities.
Right. Yeah, I remember the Grundigs. Yeah, the Yacht Boys or whatever. I had a Yacht Boy at one time, and that was still. It was rather expensive, a lot cheaper than the great big receivers out there. This kit costs $67.
Holy crap!
To put together,
wow!
And then it'll blow away a lot of those receivers. just because of what you can do in software.
I used to have a lot of problems with the Kenwood, depending upon weather and things like that, trying to maintain a connection on a weak signal. You know, I mean, things like Radio Netherlands would come in loud and clear because they had a signal that was just, you know, just bouncing off the walls. Hmm. But a lot of other smaller countries that I was trying to tune in and things, you know, that they were really marginal, and it was really kind of hard to get the receiver to stay on the signal. It would start to drift and things like that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, this with software, you can just make all your adjustments right there. Not only that, but you get all the different views on graphs, and you got waterfall graphs. You've got the standard, what do you call it? Noise floor graph, and and then you can just sit there and tweak it in software until you get the, you know,
The Grundig is a bunch much better job than the Kenwood did, but you know, the Kenwood, I bought that, I guess, back in 1980 or so.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the one I had 100 foot long wire hooked up to it.
Wow. Yeah.
God, I used to spend hours listening to that thing. Yeah. So, but the Grundig will focus in on a single signal a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. Better filter.
I don't even listen to it as much as I used to listen to that old Kenwood.
Yeah. Well, the other thing people are doing, amateurs are doing, is there's these $20 dongles you can get that they're from Europe, and they're basically TV dongles. They come with antennas, and you can over in Europe you can plug it into your a USB port on your computer, and then you get European over-the-air TV through it. But what the hams found out is all these were, but that was all done in software that came with the package. But what hams found out is all these are is, you know, basically SDRs, little mini SDRs. So they plug them in, and they're using the amateur radio software, the freebie stuff, and they're pulling in lots of other signals with it and tweaking around and doing other things. And on that in particular, all the commercial aircraft that fly have an IFF, which is a friend or foe type communication. It just beams your position and your identification information. It's basically what traffic control uses to see it and everything. Well, with these little dongles, you can decrypt that, and somebody's got a program out there, and you can get live streaming of the aircraft's actual positions and things like that.
Wow, that's cool. You can like put a cop up on your screen.
Yeah, somebody's actually got a program that takes that information and plots it on a Google map. So you see it live on a Google map, and you actually see the planes moving with their identification and everything.
Yeah, but you have to really drill in tight to really be able to see that kind of stuff, because if you're too far up, all you're going to see is just millions of airplanes.
Yeah, well, it's what you can, you know, it's line of sight communication. So basically what you're going to see is what's around you. You're not going
to... I'm used to the military cop, you know, where you go into a region and you see every single airplane that's in the theater.
Yeah.
You go down to the area that you want to make some kind of sense out of it.
Right, and that's because they have remote sites that are feeding all that data into them. So, yeah. But
yeah.
So this is your own little personal thing that you can do. There's some apps out there already that do something similar to this, but they are always say what you're seeing is probably anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes delayed. They don't give you accurate what you see. Like on this, you could see something flying over your house, and you could see it being plotted on the map as it's there. So that's just a neat thing you're doing, and people have created these converters, so they get those little dongles down into the HF range, and so people are playing with that. But I decided to go with this kit because A, it's fun to put these things together, and B, it's already it covered the entire HF amateur HF range from 160 up through 10 meters. And then they have another kit, which is just like it. And then you can get 6 meters, 2 meters, and 440 with that kit. So down the road, if this one's successful, I like it. I may get that. And then you have a complete receiver for all amateur radio bands right there. So and
that would
all
be pretty cool.
Yeah, all running in a computer. So
you got to put links to that stuff in the show notes.
I did.
Oh, cool. Awesome, man.
So the kit that I purchased, I have a link in the show notes to that. And if you just type in SDR or software defined radio and do a Google search on it, you'll find lots of stuff. And amateurs are really going nuts over this stuff right now. So anyway, so that's what I'm going to be doing here when the little project arrives. Get my soldering gun out, and there's going to be some fun things because I noticed there's three chips that go on this, and they're a surface mount chips, and I've already been watching some.
Oh boy,
hot air solderer.
Yeah, I've heard a couple different ways.
You can actually use a heat plate.
Yeah.
And you put the board on top of a warming plate
that yep.
warm up the overall board itself like it would in a reflow oven.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's... you actually put solder paste actually on the pad, or actually I prefer paste on part. You actually put the solder paste on the bottom leads of the surface mount component.
Okay.
Place it where it needs to on the pads yeah. and use a hot air solderer, and it'll reflow right in place
yeah.
without you having to put flux on it, because that's built into the paste, and it'll solder right on.
And that's what I'm looking at. They actually, I watched a YouTube where they sat there and they had a tube of the paste, and they mm-hmm. they did it on the board. They yep. very quick carefully put it on each part
on
of the board,
pad.
Each pad, and then they had tweezers yep. and they placed the thing just right on yep. on the pad, and they yep. they actually stuck it in an oven. Well, it might have been
it's going to be a mini reflow oven because yeah. you can't reflow. Leaded solder paste actually reflows somewhere at about 200. You want to run it about 203. Lead free, mm-hmm. you run up to about 238 to 247 degrees centigrade.
Yeah. So this thing, they did time-lapse photography, and you were watching it, and then they slowed it down right before, and you kind of see like the paste starting to bubble up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of expands, and then all of a sudden it goes.
Yep. It lifts the part, becomes liquidous.
Yeah.
The balls inside the paste, there's actually micro balls of solder, as well as flux, as well as a carrying agent, if you will, which a bonding agent, which allows it everything to go for the solder balls to find one another. They join, become liquid. They have a viscous retention. And this is not old technology, by the way. This is cutting-edge technology, quite honestly, for rework. So every time you build a board that, say, goes into pick something, I don't care what kind of application, and it comes back from the field with a field failure, what I do in one of the aspects and one of the stupid things I do is the most expensive part on every board is the BGA, ball grid array. And you can have an LGA, leadless grid array. That's your programmable parts. That's the brains on the board. That's what I have a special robot for putting them on and taking them off one at a time. Yeah. But I watch and work with the girls who replace those parts that you're talking about. I don't know, 50, 60 of them a day.
Wow.
Put them on by hand, taking them off by hand. You know, rework is nothing. That's easy peasy stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So let me know when you're ready.
I was going to say, I think that sounds like a visit from the old Josh to come up to the QRM studios and
show off some old time geekness.
and then we'll get that thing together, and you can watch as we try to get it to work with the computer and monitor some ham bands with it. So
sure, not a problem. Let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know when. Is it a leaded part or is it a lead free?
It doesn't come with a paste. I'm going to have to purchase the paste.
No.
Oh.
Just if it doesn't have the letters Rohs, R-O-H-S, anywhere on the package, mm-hmm. on the board, or anyway, on any paperwork that comes with the kit, then it's leaded, in which case that's real easy to do.
Okay. I don't know. It when I get the package here, right, we'll check it out.
Sure thing.
So I haven't done a project in a long time, so this will be fun.
Neither have I, not since Friday.
All right. Well, speaking of projects.
Yeah.
You're sounding mighty good tonight.
Yeah, the little experiment and help from my friends and knowledged ones actually really worked out well. The new microphone and headset that I bought a week ago to replace the horrific tinny-sounding piece of shit that I had been doing show after show after show with, I bought to replace and realized, oh, shit, I don't have any, if you will, a mic in on a back on the back of a Mac Mini. It's a line in. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't use it. So Michael, out of the goodness of his heart, his graciousness, and the fact that he probably, much like most of us, has drawers full of, oh, yeah, I got three or four of those. I haven't used it in years. Kindly mailed to me from the beautiful Copper Harbor man cave an iMic adapter. And so that's plugged into the Doctor Who USB bus that's plugged into the Mac Mini, which is plugged into the new headphones, which have separate analog in and out 3.5 millimeter jacks. And voila, you can actually hear me. And it doesn't sound like I'm talking inside of a soup can.
Sounds good.
You do sound much better tonight.
Yes.
And got a dynamic mic and a sure mixer on the way.
I am totally jazzed. Oh, did you see my email I sent to you, Michael?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I'm six ways of bummed out about that, as I mentioned it. With the dynamic mic and the mixer, I said to my beautiful bride, this is her Mac Mini, I said, I want to hook all this stuff up for the show. And she said, yeah, that's great. She says, but what is it, planning on permanently living connected to my Mac? And I thought, ooh, listen to every word of that sentence. Let us dissect that sentence. It's not going to be permanently hooked up to my Mac. And I thought, where I replied, no, honey, this is just a preliminary run. I'm going to have to get my own Mac Mini so it can be permanently hooked up.
Yeah, I think that's going to probably be on the list.
Yeah, on my own computer desk. And boy, aren't I just tore up about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's I'm pretty psyched, guys. I'm really jazzed to use this mixer and this mic. And actually, I mean, good sound quality is one thing, but to really be able to control it a lot tighter, you know, it's about time. What am I, 10 years into this hobby now?
Yeah, just about.
You know, literally, and the fact that Michael had spare extra good gear sitting in it, he's like, hey, try it out, you know, see if it works out for you. In which case, you know, rather than me running out and buying my own a mixer, and I've looked at them. Actually, when we were at when Barry and I were at the Ham Fest, I was looking at guys who had some mixers on tables, and I'm like, and of course, Barry in his wisdom and knowledge, he goes, stay away from that. That's overpriced. That one's junk. That one's not too bad, but he wants too much for it. That one weighs as much as kryptonite. You know, it's like, okay, I'll hold off on this one. And then Michael said, oh, I have a good mixer in mic here. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it out.
Yeah, I'm sorry it took so long to get it out to you. But
hey, you know, all good.
Got the ball rolling.
It's like fine wine, you know. It has to. These things take time. You can't rush into them. And trust me, I mean, you guys know I'm the king of not rushing into things. I was the last one to sign up for the Google spot.
And besides, last week when Michael said, you know, I can't take one more week of Josh sounding like crap on the air. We got to do something about it.
You know, it's funny too, because I have the USB, that Nandy mic right here. Tore it all apart, soldered it together, and I brought it back. And I thought, no, I want to try this new one to see what it sounds like.
No, the new one sounds good. So,
yeah, and I'm not, you know, it's you know, still stuck to my my oversized cranium here, so I don't have to move forward to the mic. The mic stays with me.
Yeah, that's nice. A nice headset like that's kind of nice to have, because, you know, I got to sit here and I got to talk in front of the microphone and move my head around to, I'm looking at four different screens here.
Right.
You know, it would be nice that I could just freely move my head and still be able to keep a track of what's going on and everything here. So that would be neat. So, speaking of tech news, it's time for the Apple Corner.
Nicely done.
And this week, rumors are abound for the iPhone 5S and what it will have in it. And some are saying a larger camera is going to be in it, which I don't understand what they mean by a larger camera. More pixels?
They probably just mean more pixels, yeah.
Yeah, because that, you know, that doesn't make a camera good. What makes a camera good is a good-sized sensor. So, and I don't know how they can get much larger in a phone that they keep trying to make smaller and smaller. So,
this is supposed to be a smaller phone than even the 5, which was smaller than the 4S.
Well, I guess it's supposed to be thinner. Yes, thinner, but it should be the same size screen.
And yeah. Much thinner. The thing's going to be like a sheet of paper.
That's what they're going
for. You know, Apple is working on flexible displays.
Right.
Yes, for the future. The other thing that they're talking about here is having new fingerprint technology put into it. Of course, this is rumors, but they did buy a company that specializes in this.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
So, you know, you don't have to worry about...
Fingerprint technology is really nothing new.
No,
it's like, old. But putting it on
company,
your phone...
My company, HP, laptop uses fingerprint technology, but I find it more of a pain in the ass, so I don't use it.
Yeah. But on your phone, if you were to accidentally leave your iPhone somewhere, or worse yet, someone were to steal it, you know, the likelihood of someone just being able to willy-nilly pick it up, figure out what your unlocked screen code is, and start to make phone calls... is pretty slim when it has to be your actual fingerprint.
Or if but with Find My iPhone, you can find out where it's at pretty quick.
Yeah, but if you're like me too, I don't bother to lock anything because it's too much of a hassle that every time I pick the thing up to have to punch in a code. So depending on how fast this fingerprint thing works, and I'm sure it's just going to be an option that you can turn on and off along with, you know, having the standard code that's been there since the beginning. If this thing's something where you just kind of swipe on it, or I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah, swipe your thumb across.
Yeah, but what's the camera? Smart. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they, you know, because there have to be some kind of sensors in there to pick up the biometrics somehow. But that would be cool if it worked and it was fast. But we'll see. Of course, these are all rumors, and the 5S, I think they're talking about it's probably not going to come out until September time frame.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. That's what the latest rumors are.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in the rumored new iPad that's supposed to be coming out. That's supposed to be thinner and lighter with better battery time and a faster processor. It's supposed to have the same chip in it that the 5S has.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that
A7.
The A7. Which I think they're still making, or that may not be coming out right away either, because there was another news story here. I think that was next in line, if I can see it. There we go. The fact that there's lots of rumors out, and that Apple is, surprise, surprise, ditching Samsung in favor of Taiwanese manufacturer TSMC to produce the A7 CPU. So that makes me think, I don't know, are they making them now, or are they just getting ready, and how long does it take them to ramp up and actually produce these things?
It could be that Samsung is currently making the A7, and that what they want to do is build new processing facilities to build them by TSMC. Because I know that they're talking about building a brand new TSMC fabrication facility in Brazil and build the A7 there.
Could be. Oh, is TSMC the type? How they build it? I wasn't sure what it was in favor.
No, TSMC is the company.
Oh, TSMC is the company. Okay.
Yeah, they're the manufacturer building these things, and Apple has used them before in the for other chips in the past. And in fact, I think they were using them before they went to Samsung, and they switched to Samsung because Samsung had the capability of building a whole lot more chips in a much shorter period of time because TSMC was rather small at the time. Okay. So Apple is actually spending their own money to build manufacturing facilities for TSMC in Taiwan and in China. And they're, like I said, they're building one in Brazil to be able to create mass quantities of any chip they want.
Okay, so, okay, it says here, its source and executive of one Samsung's partners claims that manufacturer has been cut out of the development of the A7 CPU, adding a little bit more evidence to the claims, I guess, of that Samsung's out. What's more, the same source reports that TSMC is gearing up in 20-nanometer production line to crank out the hardware ready for 2014. So, that's interesting. So it sounds like they're just starting to crank up for the A7.
Yeah. Well, they can't wait that long to put out a new iPad. Not at the rate they've been putting them out in the past.
Well, remember, they put that one out. It would be a year in the fall, right? When did they come out with the 3? Remember, everybody was pissed off because they came out with it early?
Well, it wasn't the 3, it was the 4, right?
No, the 4, I mean.
The 3 came out on schedule, and then the 4 came out like 6 months later.
Right, the 4. Yeah,
that came out like what in the spring, when they had been coming out in the fall? I got that backwards.
I think you got it backwards.
Spring.
Yeah, the 3 came out in the spring, and then the 4 came out in the fall. So, it looks like at the earliest it's going to be fall for this, because it sounds like they're just getting the line set up for it. So, we'll see.
They don't want to share their design secrets with Samsung anymore, because Samsung keeps copying all their crap.
Exactly. Who blames them, you know?
Yeah, really. One side of Samsung gets all the goodies and then passes to the other side of Samsung so they can make a copy. That doesn't seem right.
Of course, if Kim Il-un gets his way, Samsung may not exist after tomorrow.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
And by the way, it is tomorrow over there now. We should be watching the news just in case he decides to launch something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's the result of 3 generations of bad inbreeding.
Exactly. Baby Yui. That's what I call him. So, all right. So that's the iPhone 5S rumors and Samsung being dropped. And
what is this about Firefox 20?
Firefox 20 came out for the Mac.
20?
Yes.
Holy crap, they're way up there.
Oh, yeah, they were, you know, remember how Firefox used to come out every so often, you'd get another number and everything, and then in the past couple of years, it's like, okay, we're up to Firefox 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah.
Well, I kind of quit using Firefox for a while, because it got to be real, real friggin' slow.
Well, guess what?
I went through and ditched all my add-ins and things just trying to get some performance out of the thing. And it was just like a slow-moving pig. It was like a typical Windows product.
I'm here to tell you that today, after trying this out for the past 5 days, I am here to tell you that I officially made Firefox on my Mac my default browser.
No.
It is that fast. And it seems to be handling memory quite well. And I welcome back my limited add-ins that I used to have on Firefox when it was my default before. I'm telling you, on the Mac, I don't know about Windows. I haven't checked it out on Windows yet. But on the Mac, it blows everybody else away right now. I mean, I sit there, I click on a link, and the page is there.
Really?
Yes. It's phenomenal. It is fast. I've been watching my memory usage. It stays. I don't see any memory leaks. I'm back on Firefox for now.
I'll have to try that out.
So
there's one thing I don't like about Firefox, and maybe I'm missing it here, Barry, but the click and zoom does not work on it.
Click and zoom.
With a two-finger, you want to zoom in on a page in the text?
Okay. Inside Firefox?
Yeah, yeah. When you know, as opposed to Safari, mm-hmm. if I got a whole bunch of fine text on the screen and I just use the 2-finger zoom, works on Safari. It does not work in Firefox and my Mac.
Well,
does that work on yours?
Well, right now I'm saying no, but then again, I use a different zoom since I have a Mac. I went into the capabilities section, and I use the control 2-finger zoom all the time. That's what I use all the time, and that zooms in my entire screen with centered on where my cursor is.
Is that working in Firefox?
Well, it doesn't work in Firefox. It zooms your entire screen.
Right. So it
yeah. So it works at Firefox naturally. Zooms because your entire screen is zooming.
Okay. Right, wherever yeah. the cursor is, it just exactly magnifies everything.
Yeah. I love that. I use that all the time with these.
I'm going to my preferences now.
Go that's into your preferences.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Here we go for you Mac lovers. Go into your preferences. Uh-huh. Go to. I got to find it. There it is. Accessibility.
I don't have that.
You have to.
Yeah, you do.
Everybody has accessibility.
It's under system.
It's for people who need help.
There it is, accessibility. I know that.
Okay.
There it is.
The little blue circle with the guy in it.
And then click on zoom over on the left.
Right.
And then you want to check use scroll gestures with modifier key to zoom.
Ah.
And I use the control key. You can change it if you like, but I'm so used to the control key. And then I have smooth images clicked also. And that's all you need to have set up. And then if you have a touchpad, if you hold your control key down and use 2 fingers and zoom, or, you know, sweep up, you will zoom in and sweep out.
Awesome.
The entire thing. This is what I've used for years.
Look at that.
And not only that, but if you're zoomed in and then you move your cursor over to the right or left, it will move to the screen around so you can see it, and then you can just zoom out anytime. That's all I need, and I wish they had something like that on Windows. I haven't found it yet, but this thing I have used since I found it probably about a month after I got my first Mac, and I always set it up because I just live by this.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, have you discovered multiple desktops yet?
Yes. Well, I have multiple monitors.
Well, you can have multiple desktops and put each desktop in a different monitor.
Well, I have done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have done that one. So on the little monitor, like I keep all the email on the monitor on the left, and then whatever we're looking at show notes, I'll keep show notes on the monitor, actually on the left, and then whenever I'm browsing on Craigslist, on the right.
I use multiple desktops all the time. And again, you use the control key, and you press down the control key, and then you just use your arrows to go back and forth. Now, the only thing with Mountain Lion, they changed it. Before, you used to be able to set them up both vertically and horizontally. So you could go, you could have 3 vertically set up and 3 horizontally set up, and you'd have a grand total of like 9 displays if you wanted to do it that way. Now that seems like the default is they're only set up horizontally, so you got to flip through them that way.
Well, no, there's a way around that. First of all, I use the 3-finger gesture for moving from desktop to desktop.
Oh,
yeah, I got a few finger gestures I use.
Yeah, too. Yeah. But if you sweep up with those 3 fingers, then all of the desktops show up in Mini, and you tap on the one you want to jump to.
Whoa, yes, wait a minute. That works too.
If you do what? Oh, you said sweep. I'm using the keyboard and the mouse.
No, so you're using the normal. Okay,
sorry. I found it. I say control up. I found it.
Okay, yeah, with a touchpad, you don't have to control anything.
I love you, Jash. You're just awesome.
Well, I just had to think about it for a second. Control up, control down, control right, control left. Okay. Very cool.
And hopefully our 4.3 listeners have a Mac, because otherwise they're going, what the hell is this?
If you don't,
what the hell are preferences?
If one of you 4 folks do not have a Mac, you're missing out. Trust me, I've been missing out for years, and I regret it.
That is absolutely true. Well, he does regret it.
I'm going to be going soon, and I'd like to jump ahead.
Okay, ahead.
There's a topic I'd really want to hear about.
All right.
The U.S. Navy to deploy a ship-mounted laser.
Yes.
How many people saw the video of that?
You know, I think it's part of the show notes. Mm-hmm. If you go to that
link.
Man,
that video was just awesome.
Let me.
You just wiped it out.
No. I'm moving it. Hang on.
Where'd it go?
There it is. It's back. I think I had a video with that. Let me check. It's a cool looking thing too. Oh no, it's not the video. Bummer.
Oh.
Okay. Well, you can probably look it up. But yes, they're going to have these and oh yeah, there's the video. The video's down below. If you scroll down, it's in the show notes, folks, and they have it there on the ship. And right now, they've been practicing, I guess, with drones. Mm-hmm. And they've been knocking them out, and I guess they're going to use it in defensive drones, because that's probably something they have to worry about.
As opposed to practicing on what?
I don't know
anything North Korea throws in the air.
but these things, I mean, God, we're getting, Star Wars is coming. It's real. Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever. Your favorite. Whatever, pick your favorite sci-fi montage.
Yeah, well, Star Wars had the lasers that hardly hit anything. You know, you had to shoot like 20 times to get a hit. At least with Star Trek, they actually had computerized targeting that would hit every time. It was just a matter of how much damage you did.
Right. Yes, that's true. And this is probably...
more like Star Trek.
Yeah. Which is more realistic than Star Wars. Let's face it.
All the Star Wars freaks. There might be 1.3 listeners that just got pissed off.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, anybody who's,
one host.
Anybody who's a Star Wars fanatic as opposed to a Star Trek fanatic. I mean, you got to really,
You missed my comment there.
What?
Beady, beady, beady.
Yes. Oh,
that's Buck Rogers, isn't it? Or was that R2-D2?
Yeah, no, that was
Buck Rogers.
Yeah, talk about a show there where people couldn't shoot. You know, blasters going everywhere, yeah, really, nobody's going down.
That's the biggest joke about Star Wars is like they blast and blast and blast and blast and never hit anything. I mean, hell, no wonder the rebels won.
Except
they didn't need the Force.
Except if you were a stormtrooper wearing your armor. It could just come within 50 feet of you and you would die. You know? Because if you think about the, especially Star Wars, what was it, 4, 5, 6? Which one? The one with the Ewoks?
Oh, God.
That was a separate offshoot that wasn't even part of the numbered series.
Well, it was still the third movie.
And then you had the Ewoks adventure thing, and then you had...
No, this is the last one.
No, the Ewoks were in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
They had all their Ewoks.
When they were on the moon and everything, and they were fighting the stormtroopers, the Ewoks were throwing pointed sticks at them and killing them. With armor on.
It's kind of like the beginning of the Korean War, you had all these Chinese and North Korean troops attacking with spears and swords. Swords and things and arrows, and overwhelming the United Nations troops just by sheer numbers.
Yeah, but the fact is that the stormtroopers were wearing armor and pointed sticks were making it through. Yeah, more or less lasers
from the cold. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. So anyway, lasers are coming to the U.S. Navy.
Woo-hoo.
And they kick ass.
I hope
so. Really cool.
I wonder how long.
I'm watching the video on YouTube right now.
Oh, I was wondering whether you fire it once and then you got to wait 45 minutes for it to recharge.
Yeah, for the popcorn. Exactly.
But if you have enough batteries, if you just line them up right, you just fire one and see how it does, and then fire the second one.
Yeah.
If you time it all just right, you can have a shot going all the time.
That's true. And we got nuclear power, so you'd think you'd be able to charge those batteries pretty quick.
So, yeah, and, you know, and you have to consider that this is an unclassified video. You don't really know what the true capabilities of this weapon really is.
Right.
So.
And in fact, it's been around for probably well over a decade.
Well, you know, that's not quite so so much of a joke, because a lot of the stealth technology that we see in aircraft existed long before the government admitted it, that they owned it.
Oh, yeah.
They only admitted it because it was becoming so prevalent that they couldn't hide it anymore.
Right.
You know? Like
couldn't hide stealth technology?
Pardon?
Couldn't hide stealth technology?
Well, people knew they had it around because
it just sounded funny.
Were showing up on radar but not being seen, you know?
Right. It just like sounded funny.
Couldn't find these things, but pilots were reporting seeing these things.
Well, now they have a special other technology for looking for stealth airplanes. They actually look at all the noise that's produced by man in the radio sphere and look for the blank spots. And that's, oh, there must be a stealth plane there. Why are there no signals there?
Look for the holes where there is nothing, and that's where there is something.
Yes.
Well, luckily, most of the people that we come up against don't have that kind of technology. But then again, most of those people we don't really need to use stealth against either.
Yeah, that's true.
Most of those people still throwing rocks, okay? Let's face it.
During the second Iraq war, most of the bombing we were doing was simply to get rid of old ordnance that we would have had to take an expensive, long-going process of de-arming and disposing of. It was a whole lot easier to just go fly it somewhere and dump it.
Drop it.
Seriously, we were dumping all kinds of old munitions out in the open desert just to get rid of it.
The U.S. military is having a garage sale.
Literally.
We'll deliver it.
That's what I'm saying. Offered to receive it.
Exactly.
Everything must go.
Everything's got to go.
You want it? You can have it.
You got a two for sale.
You don't even have to tell us where. We'll figure out where we want it to go.
If we thought we were going to drop one on you, now you pissed us off for dropping two on you just to clear them off the shelves.
Oh, geez. You know, I'm going to have to watch that video. I'm not going to do it now because the computer's hooked up. And <you know. laughs> So I'll check that out.
Well, I got to be running, guys.
All right, Barty. Good
to see you later.
Hey, Cash, I hope you get better soon.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm about 5-6 weeks away. Thank you.
Michael, all I can say is good friggin' luck, buddy.
I know. Thanks.
I've been where you're at, and I know
where I'm at.
So all I can say is good friggin' luck. Hey, Barry, hope you have a good week at work.
Okay, you too.
Catch you guys all later.
Okay.
See you next week, hopefully.
All right. So, the U.S. Navy. Did I move that? Yes, I did. Okay. That's right, because it made it disappear. So, down to the next thing. The last Apple thing I had on here is HBO Go version 2.1 came out for iOS. That means your iPhone or iPad. And they've added AirPlay to it. And multitasking while you're AirPlay. So that means you can AirPlay HBO Go to your big screen, and then go and do other things with your iPad or iPhone at the same time that you're AirPlay to the big screen. So that's pretty cool. That's a nice feature.
Yes, that was very kind of them.
Yes. So, and of course, the other news I think we talked about last week or the week before was that HBO Go is considering coming out and offering it to people that don't have a subscription to HBO. Of course, there'll be a monthly fee for it, but still.
Right. Like Netflix or like Hulu Plus.
Exactly. I want to see it go that way, so I'd be glad if that happened. So, you know, that I don't have to buy $140 worth of, you know, cable TV or satellite TV just so I can get HBO Go.
Right.
Yeah, so that's cool. Anyway, and if you haven't heard, Google is going to fiber another town.
Nice.
And it's going to be Austin, Texas. So if you live in Austin, Texas, expect gigabytes down and up soon. I would love that. Oh, that would be so nice. Of course, we still have, you know, we can only go as fast as the slowest person.
Yeah, well, that ain't Michael. Me anymore.
Well, maybe we should push. Yeah. Maybe we should push for Google Plus to go to Copper Harbor.
Copper Harbor, now that
or not Google Plus, Google Fiber
right away.
Google Fiber to Copper Harbor.
I did. You know, when they had the contest, I put Copper Harbor on the map.
You did.
Hey, you betcha. I tried. It's like, hey, there's only 88 of us. You know, it'd be a cheap experiment.
Actually, good thinking.
Yeah, show them how 88 people can afford to have Google Fiber there. Because that's the whole reason they're doing this, is to show how inexpensive it is to set up these fast fibers, or these fast network connections. And so that trying to convince the other people, that the other companies out there that provide service, that they too could do this cheaply. But I don't think it's working. I don't know. We'll see. They need to expand some more. Be a threat. So, and speaking of threats, last week we talked to you about Arrow winning their first court battle.
Yes.
And this week, Fox Entertainment, the people that own the Fox television stations in several, you know, in all the different cities and areas, has threatened to become a pay TV channel and basically... if you want to get full-time Fox stations like you're used to having over the air, you would have to go to either cable or satellite TV, and what they would broadcast is something different. They would still have their news shows and everything they have to for broadcast purposes, but the rest of the show lineup on the broadcast side would be crap.
But on the internet side or on the conventional TV
side? On the conventional TV side.
Would be crap on the conventional TV.
Right, and then the regular, what you're used to seeing as Fox, slightly less crap, would be just available on cable and satellite.
So let me get this straight. A company is providing a means of adding Googles of numbers of people who are adding to... the advertiser list, so they can go back to their advertisers and say, hey, all these extra people are now watching your ads, right? And they're complaining about it. Wasn't that the original model for TV? You put it out over the air free and everybody saw your programming with the ads.
Right.
This is a terrible thing, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, to me, I would say if you start charging for your programming and you expect customers to pay for it, then I better not see any ads in it.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Why?
And here's the thing. Unlike say Hulu and Hulu Plus. All right, Hulu Plus, we pay for a subscription. Mm-hmm. It does have commercials. Mm-hmm. The commercials are limited to 30 seconds long, and you'll never have more than the maximum I've ever seen is 3 commercials back to back. Usually it's 1. So you're watching a show, and it's not every 15 bloody minutes either, so it's a lot longer watching the show. 30-second commercial, back to the show. If Fox were to say, okay, look, we're going to start a different type of broadcasting, which they are, i.e. over the internet, it's not TV, it's internet broadcasting. Then, in essence, aren't they going to be just like another Hulu Plus, and they could have commercials?
Well, they
just the same as Hulu
they
Plus.
Could, but I would say, as a person that has choice, if I'm paying you for that programming, like I pay for HBO, I don't get commercials on HBO. Why am I getting commercials and paying for it? Reason they are allowed to have commercials, in the old sense, broadcasting, is because they offer the signal for free and the commercial
was the payment.
But now they're getting greedy and they want you to pay they want you to pay to watch their commercials.
Well, more or less, that's what you do with Hulu Plus anyway, but here's the reason why. And I got a letter from Hulu Plus for this very same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because the conventional TV broadcasting companies were trying to desperately shove Hulu Plus off out of the market. Mm-hmm. Because Hulu Plus goes and they're next day. So mm-hmm. shows that come on, you know, FX networks, yada, 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 would be on the next day. Netflix shoved Hulu Plus from, mind you, Hulu Plus, not Hulu, mm-hmm. Hulu Plus from the number one spot.
Mm-hmm.
They came back and said, for us to be able to get the same shows that are on conventional cable mm-hmm. or satellite.
Right.
And you can have them the next day they air.
Right.
We have to pay more to mm-hmm. the networks to get them.
Okay.
Which means we've got two choices. Either A, we pass those on, the added cost on to you, the subscriber, or B, do you want to watch more commercials?
Well,
that's the only other way we can do.
But whose commercials are they? Are they Hulu's commercials?
I'm watching Ford.
No. I don't. Who is making money off the commercials? Hulu or the broadcasters?
Who the commercial is for is
right.
to get their market product out there. So if it's for for whomever, right?
But Ford is paying somebody money to get the advertisement on there. Are they paying Hulu or are they paying the broadcasters?
No, they're paying Hulu.
Okay, well that's different. But then
they're
I would still.
Hulu, and Hulu says, okay, well you're going to get commercials, but you're going to get a hell of a lot less of them than you
would
on
TV. And I do understand that, and I know you're a cord cutter, so you do get Hulu, but I've looked at Hulu many times, and frankly, I still have not joined the Hulu list because... Hulu Plus list because they have frickin' commercials. And I'm like, why am I paying you $8 a month
uh-huh.
and getting commercials? And I say the same thing about DirecTV. I am paying to get some of these frickin' channels, and they're also making me watch... making me watch commercials. Now, the only thing I can say with DirecTV is I rarely watch anything live, and I got the DVR, so when commercials come on, I just go blip, blip, blip past them. I don't know whether Hulu, you can do that with Hulu.
With Hulu Plus, you cannot fast forward through them, but you just mute them.
Yeah, but still, you got to wait the time.
But they're only 30 seconds long. Your commercials on conventional TV are 2 minutes long.
I just don't like the fact that they are mixing... pay with commercials now, because to me I'm paying to watch your commercial. Why? Mm-hmm. I should either watch your commercials or pay to get commercial free stuff.
You're not going
to
get away from it because advertisers throw too much money into the kitty. Otherwise TV would cost 16 times more than what it costs. That $200 a month you're shelling out now, if there was no commercials, it would be $2,000.
Okay. Well, if they're showing commercials, then why charge for me to get it? I'm watching your commercials.
You're paying for the technology of satellite. The fact that you live in the sticks, and if you put an antenna on the top of your roof, you're going to get one fuzzy snow-covered channel if you're lucky. You're paying for the technology, for the satellite, for the technology that's floating in orbit that they can...
Uh-oh. Are you there?
That's what you're paying for. Oh. Not... And it's rolled into the cost with the shows.
Yeah.
But really to beam up to and then send it down here. Basically, let's face it. What? What?
Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You cut out for a minute, Josh, and then you came back.
I heard Josh cut out too.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, but it was okay.
It's Skype. I don't think it has anything in your end.
Oh. Yeah, okay, yeah, I only got like 31 pages open now, so I don't know how to come out. Anyway.
Well, that could be it, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Arrow website because it still says, coming soon to Boston and 21 other cities in 2013. I'm mm-hmm. already pre-registered, but I'm kind of wondering, like, when? Because mm-hmm. I want to get this ball rolling.
Yeah. Well, I do not like to pay... to watch somebody's commercials. So either show me commercials or let me pay and not get commercials. That's kind of my feeling about it. And I think it's when you pay to watch commercials, It's somebody being greedy because, hey, look, we can screw them two different ways. You know?
Right.
And it's and again, it's also because, you know, they were stuck according to the FCC because the only way that it used to be to get a signal to people, to get your program to people, was over the air, controlled by the FCC. The FCC made the rules and said, you can sell commercials, but you can't charge for the signal. And then cable came along, and we started to see a shift, and the people that were providing the content were now charging to get that content and showing you commercials, and that's continuing into the internet. And frankly, I just think it's them being greedy, and they need to change over to the new media. You know, charge and don't sell commercials, or... don't charge and show me the commercials. You know, either way, matter of fact, chances are I'd probably pick to watch the commercials and not pay a fee. Monthly fee. Depends on what I'm watching. If it's movies, I'll pay up front, just don't interrupt the movie. You know, if it's TV shows, sitcoms and stuff like that, chances are I'm not gonna pay you. Show me the sitcom and interrupt it with a few commercials. Pay for it. That's me. That's the way I would go with it. But this is old technology, old companies that don't know how to handle the new technology. And hopefully it'll work itself out. But that's what's going on. They're getting greedy. I cannot believe that local stations actually charge cable companies and satellite companies for their programming, for their signal, to provide them a signal. That is absolutely outrageous, especially since the FCC tells the satellite company, you can have your service, but you have to carry all local programming and all local stations on your satellite, which is the most expensive thing that they have to deal with. And not only do they have to provide the technology and the special satellites with the spot beams and everything else to provide that vast coverage of local stations all over the world or all over the country, but then those stations charge them money for it. And they have to accept it because they have, by law, they have to cover it. So it's a ripoff. It's a total ripoff. And with this technology, why can't I watch my channels in Philadelphia? I'm not allowed.
I don't know.
Broken record. I talk about that all the time. But I'd like to watch the channels in Philadelphia once in a while. So, anyway. We'll see what happens. It's all new and it's young. And hopefully they won't start having fees to the point where you know, soon you'll need to get a license to stream a show. and then that's going to be the end of podcasting as we know it.
A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, because, yes, you need a license to stream your show. But don't worry, it's only $5,000 a year. I'm sure you can handle that.
Nope.
It's coming. I'm waiting.
Pirate radio's cheaper.
Yeah, yep. Pirate streaming. So, Michael's still there?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
I do believe. I didn't hear that magic noise.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure. Sometimes it cuts out. So we already talked about your more and more and more and more snow.
And more.
I don't think we talked about looking at the radar. I think we did that pre-show, didn't we?
No, I think I brought that up right at the beginning of the show.
Did you?
After we did the intro, yeah.
I'll move that back up to the front there. So
yeah, and it's moving up. It's moving up. There's stuff coming up over the place right now, actually.
Yeah. So you're going to be able to get back to the house from the man cave tonight?
Yeah. Okay. Got snowshoes if I need them.
Snowshoes and a rope between the two buildings?
Yep.
Now, I had to laugh at your next topic because I did this in the Air Force. I got out of the Air Force. And it had been about 7 years since I had seen a dentist. So please tell us, how did it go?
Yeah. You see, basically, I went off of benefits about 7 years ago. It'll be 7 years in October. And of course, 2008 came along, and you know what happened to the economy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my friends are going, well, you know, nobody gets dental benefits anymore. Like, well, yeah, but you have health benefits. Right. So my discretionary income is going towards insurance and then paying for what insurance isn't paying. So for the last 7 years, I have opted to take what was what I consider discretionary for me and make sure that my wife and kids get to the dentist every 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then my oldest has just gone through orthodontia, which I have paid for twice now.
Right.
We paid a upfront subscription before we moved up here from our first orthodontist. So we actually had paid for everything in full before we moved up here. And then it got to be too disruptive. I mean, it still wasn't valid. It was still a valid contract, but it's a 2-day round trip down to see him. So we would be pulling our son out of school for like 3 days at a time for orthodontia appointments. That wasn't going to cut it. So I had to find another orthodontist and start all over again and pay all over again. So I've paid for his teeth twice now.
No.
So during all of this, the last thing that I needed, well, actually I needed it, but the last thing I was going to do was pay for my own dental visits. So it's been 7 years. I finally said, you know, this is not good. I really should get in. So I had my wife call up because the rest of the family was going in for their 6-month cleaning and wrote down on the sheet that it's been 7 years since I've had a cleaning or a checkup.
Yeah.
And you can see everybody going, oh, my God.
This guy's mouth's going to be a train wreck.
So they take the x-rays, they do the initial assessments and everything. And while I'm waiting on that, they send me in to see the oral hygienist. And you can see the look of trepidation on her face. It's like 2 p.m. She says, okay, open up. I open up her mouth. And you can see this look of relief on her face. And she goes, oh, I needed to get out of here early today and was really, really worried when I saw your prep sheet. She said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. There isn't a speck of plaque on your teeth.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
It took like, she just did, you know, the cursory 15-minute inspection and, you know, the fluoride treatment and the polishing up. And she said, that's it. You're done. Whatever you're doing, do it again.
Wow. So, that's not how mine went.
That, no cavities, no plaque, no, you know, bad boy. They're like, we can't believe it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Now, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, there was another 7-year period that I hadn't, you know, it might have been longer than that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when I came in then, it took them 3 separate sessions with Novocaine to be able to clean my teeth.
They did a descaling, probably.
And basically, I learned from that. It's like, I will never go through that again. Dental floss, you are my friend.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Waterpik, if I may jump on your bandwagon, sir. My wife, her teeth are so close together, you can't even get that, you know, the super thin dental floss.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She couldn't get it between her teeth to floss. And I have, my teeth are kind of crooked on the bottom, and I have one, if I shove it in there, it gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And her dentist turned around and said, buy a Waterpik. And use it every time you would normally floss. Use this Waterpik with that little jet setting. It will pulsate all the crud and food out from between your teeth. And you know what? Pour a little Listerine into it as well.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? It actually feels heavenly.
I may have to get one of those because I hate flossing, although I force myself to do it.
It was the best $80. My wife, I came home and I said to my wife, what in the hell is that? She goes, it's a Waterpik. She goes, and I saw a bottle of the, I like the original flavored, and so doesn't she, Listerine. She goes, put a cap full of that and fill up the reservoir with water. And she says, and use that in place of flossing. I thought, okay. Mm-hmm. Hadn't thought much about it. Tried it out, and I went, oh, my God. So every time you have corn on the cob, and we all have been there, and you get all that corn, and it's like, I think someone parked a 3-ton dump truck between two teeth because I can feel the pressure of the corn stuck there.
this thing takes care of that like aces. And then on the same note, I'm not trying to steal your thunder. When I was traveling in New York, I hadn't been to the dentist in quite a while until I broke that tooth driving down to New York. Pretty much the same thing. They did the cleaning. They did fillings. They said, you need it. I had a cavity on a couple of teeth, one of them up front, above the gum line. And I said to myself, after those fillings and a broken tooth, he said, you know what? He goes, I don't want to go through this again, as I said to the dentist. So I started brushing my teeth using a non-fluoride toothpaste and also using a, believe it or not, hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide baking soda with non-N-O-N fluorinated toothpaste. And that water pick, and I had gone back for another checkup, and I'm like, well, I said, when was the last time you were cleaning? I said, 2 years ago. They looked at it, they said, it's spotless.
Wow.
Well, New York. New York, so it was a little over a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Spotless.
That's great. My teeth, even though I brush... And I use one of the electric toothbrushes.
Yep.
And it's even got these, you know, it vibrates when, you know, so to make sure
vibrates
you
really
well, yeah, it, not only vibrates, but it basically it stutters when it's time. So you start doing your bottoms and you keep doing it until you feel it stutter. And then you go to the next thing and it stutters, and then, you know, at the end when you're done, it'll stutter three times. And that way you're brushing the proper amount of time.
Right.
And then I floss and everything, and I use, you know, I use mouthwash and the Listerine because it kills germs, and the next day I'll have 5 months worth of plaque in my mouth again. So, I mean, it grows that fast in my mouth. I don't know whether it's because I have a very wet mouth. I've been told by the dentist that you have a very wet mouth. They just kind of stick the drain in when they're cleaning my teeth and keep it there. But you can actually see saliva pouring out, you know. I'm going to have to try the water pick thing because I hate, and I've got a few crooked teeth on the bottom that it's very hard. Yeah, it's you hard get it in there and then you try to pull it out, and of course, then it breaks the...
It breaks, and then you get this chunk of dental floss that's stuck between
the teeth
that are already crooked.
Right, right.
And, I had this happen a couple months back when I thought, I'm not going to get up. I'll just floss my teeth. I was watching TV. Yeah. Everybody was in bed, and I had the dental floss. I'm like, I'll just floss my teeth while I'm watching this movie. And had a napkin there, a paper towel on my lap, and I'm sitting here, and I turned. Somehow I got this. The dental floss broke. It's between two crooked teeth. And I you could feel, which it felt like somebody, you know, was like flossing between two teeth with a garden hose.
Yeah, I was going to say, or a log.
Exactly. That's how big it felt in there. And I thought, how do I get this out? Well, let me try another piece of dental floss. That one broke in between the two teeth because the tooth is sharp. They kept cutting it. So now I got two chunks. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't stand it. Lord, help me. You know, and then you're running into the bathroom. And I'm breaking out what I call my home surgical kit, which is you unroll it, and I've got some extremely fine tweezers and scalpels and this and that, all used in my industry that are all brand new and all sterilized. And I take the tweezers and the hook dental probes, and I'm trying to dig the 2 days it took me to get that string out from between my teeth. And that's when the water pick became my new best friend.
Jeez. Well, my story after not seeing a dentist for 7 years, I went into the military, and up to then, I think I had one cavity in my mouth that I got when I was 16. So I had I have strong teeth, okay? And
wet.
And wet, apparently wet. And so I went to the dentist for the first time in the Air Force, and they decided I had another cavity just below the one I got when I was 16, and they decided to fill that, and they said, you don't need Novocaine.
Oh, bullshit.
And, of course, I'm already nervous. I'm a white knuckler when it comes to the dentist. And so they finished that. I survived. And then they said, and we're looking at your wisdom teeth. Well, my wisdom teeth didn't come in impacted like some people have, you know, where they're in sideways or something. Mine came in, but they're on a slight, ever so slight angle. But then if you look at the back of your mouth, the way your jaw goes, I think they're supposed to come in that way. So basically, they came in probably the way wisdom teeth are supposed to come in.
Right.
And they said, well, we should remove them because they're in on a slight angle. And I said, well, why do I have to remove them? They're not bothering me. They're not doing anything. And they said, well, see, there's a, and he hit, held his two index fingers kind of together at the tip and spread them out at the bottom so that it showed, you know, V shape.
Yeah.
That's the way your teeth are back there. So that, that space there could collect stuff and then it'll rot your teeth out. And, and so, you know, we want to prevent that, so we want to take your wisdom teeth out. And I said, well, how long would it take, do you think, you know, for that to happen? And they said, oh, it probably wouldn't be any problem when you're younger. But when you get older, that's probably going to become a problem. I said, and that would be when? Oh, when you're about 60. And I said, okay, I understand. I said, can
don't worry about it then.
Can I get back to you on when I want this done? They said, sure. When do you want us to make an appointment? I said, when I'm 60.
When I'm 60, exactly.
and that was the last time I went to an Air Force dentist. You know, I'm not saying all Air Force dentists are bad, but that was my dentist, and he was going to be my dentist for 3 years, and I decided, no thanks. Well, 3 years ended up going to 7. And I finally went to the dentist, my wife's dentist. No, actually, we moved to Virginia, and we had to get a new dentist there. And I broke a tooth in the back, and I had to go in and see a dentist. And he said, when was the last time you saw a dentist? And I said, 7 years ago. And he said, well, we're going to make 4 appointments for you. One for each level, or, you know, the one for
each
the
quadrant
left
of cleaning.
Quadrant of cleaning. Well, not just for cleaning. It was to fill the cavities.
Oh, nice.
I pretty much have fillings in every one of my teeth now. But luckily, this was a good dentist. And matter of fact, he was, at the time, he was the dentist for the Washington Redskins. And my wife always went in. Now, she was not a Washington Redskin fan at the time. When I lived in Virginia, I was a big Washington Redskin fan. Every time she went to the dentist, one of them was in there with her. I never saw anybody from the Washington Redskins every time I went to the dentist.
Every time she's in there, there's another player.
Right. I think Jack Kent Cook was actually in there one time when she was in there. And he used to be the owner of the Washington Redskins back then. But anyway, so we did that. And he, and then at the end of everything, he said, you know, you're lucky you have very large teeth. And I said, why? Because a lot of those would have been root canals on a normal person. So so I have fillings, and I got to say, he was a very good dentist because he said these fillings probably will only last about 20 years. Then you'll have to get them replaced. Well, I can tell you that it's coming up on 30 years, and I have not had to have one replaced yet. And the dentist I got up here looked, and he says, who did your teeth? Who did the fillings? And I said, Barry Rudolph. Why? He goes, I've never seen such good fillings here. He goes, you'll probably never have to get these replaced. So
that's what you want to hear.
I know. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. So, but that was my 7-year story. Needless to say, after I went through the torture of having all those done, and yes, I could tell some of those were pretty deep, and they weren't, but boy, they were hot and cold sensitive for quite a while until the, you know, the nerves shrunk down lower into the teeth. I started taking care of my teeth a hell of a lot better than I was while I was in the Air Force. And luckily now all I have to do is go in for cleanings. But I do faithfully go in twice a year to get my cleanings. So there you go, boys and girls. Go to the dentist.
This dentist was fantastic because he's talking to me and he goes, you've got no cavities. Whatever you're doing right. Except, he said, you've got to come in more often. Mm-hmm. And then he stops, and I'm not going to say the dentist's name because of this, and he goes, you're a medic up here, aren't you? And I said, yeah. You don't have any benefits, do you? I said, nope. Pay me what you can. Just get in here.
Wow, nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's wow. Taking care of people first.
Yeah.
You know, realistically, taking care of their medical needs first. The rest we'll worry about whatever.
They're the guys you want to go to and support.
Yep.
Absolutely wonderful. Great. True Value.
So dreaded trip that turned out really good. So.
Great. That's fantastic. So True Value.
Yeah. Well, last weekend, I'm doing the dishes. My kids have a pass on most chores during the school year because they get on the bus at 20 to 6 in the morning and they get back after 5 and they have homework. So, you know, just I take care of things and Chris takes care of things. Well, I'm doing the dishes and I reach under the cabinet to get some more dish soap and there's like 2 inches of water in the bottom of the cabinet.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, ow. I look under there. The main nut that comes up, but it's a dual stainless steel sink in the kitchen. The main nut that comes up to connect to the strainer had split.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of the sink, or that part of the drain, had pulled away, and it was just all over the
bottom.
Dump
it all over the bottom.
Yeah, so I pulled everything out. I looked at it, and I said, the problem is the strainer. I got pipe all over the place, but I don't have any strainers.
Right.
So I pushed it up. Braced it in place, wrapped it a couple gajillion of times with saran wrap, went over that with black electrical tape,
yeah,
nice and tight, and then over that with duct tape.
Mm-hmm. Fixed.
Yeah, well, for now, you know, temporarily. Well, right. Temporarily, it's been a week so far, but hasn't dripped a bit since. But you know, next time I went into town, and let's see here, that was actually it was before my dental appointment. I got had to go take care of some banking, so I went to town. And in between one of the snowstorms, mm-hmm. and I'm down in Houghton across the bridge off the island. And I'm like, oh, geez, I really should look for some plumbing parts. Oh, yeah, I'm near Pat's Festival Foods and True Value. Now, this is a man's store. It is a regular grocery store, but the entire middle half of the store is all hardware. not like a Walmart where they got two aisles of quote unquote hardware.
Right.
You go in there and you want, you know, cast iron strainers and everything. They got it. It's a regular True Value hardware. The whole perimeter of the store is freezers and produce and meat and all the other stuff a guy's got to have.
Right.
But it's an honest to goodness hardware store with food.
Nice.
Nice.
I wanted to take a picture and I thought, you know, I don't know how they go over in here.
Yeah. That is too cool.
But they had everything I needed. And they were actually, when I needed to do, what was I looking for? I was looking for a special 220 connector, mm-hmm. special electrical 220 connector. The regular, and as much as I like the regular Ace Hardware up here, they didn't have it.
Right.
But the grocery store and True Value did.
Mm-hmm. Pat's.
Pat's.
Yep.
Just
Pat's.
Pat's.
I'm going down to Pat's.
Feel like a grilled steak. Yeah, you know, come on into Pat's. Pick up your steak and your grill and the plumbing you need.
And a 30-amp double pole breaker.
Betcha. Yeah, that was the other thing I needed from them. Besides that, it was actually a special breaker from my box. They had it.
Wow.
All right.
And so they knew what I was asking for, too. So, you know, you're asking the guy about, I need a 30-amp breaker, and can you tell me where the parsley is?
Cat food, a breaker, and a garbage disposal. Okay,
yep,
problem.
Oh, and they have both road diesel and off-road diesel.
Nice. Oh, so when you're running your tractor, you're not paying all the tax plowing out snow.
Yep.
Wow. And they take coupons.
Probably. They didn't check that.
At Pat's.
Yep.
That sounds like a great one-stop shop. Pretty much you go, what store do you you can hear it now. Have you ever been to the mall? Nope. I just go to Pat's because they sell clothes now, too. I don't ever have to go anywhere else. I get my food. I got my hardware. I got my clothes. I got... Actually, I bought a truck from Mile 6. I got everything from Pat's. That's the kind of store for me. And I, no, there's no Walmart or department store in the world that's ever going to be able to match up with this, a good old-fashioned stores like that.
Yep. Yeah. And that kind of leads into the next subject.
Mm-hmm.
In the news this week, McDonald's is looking at their sliding sales, and have decided they need more polite. Let's back this up again.
I'll have another bartender.
Anyhow, McDonald's has been looking at their sales that have been sliding. That's because I haven't been talking the whole show, and they decided that the issue was that they had rude people up at the counter. And they're like, well, okay, yeah. I would say that most of the personalities I have dealt with when I've had to go into McDonald's haven't really impressed me, although some of
them... Hi, welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order, please?
Right. Well, what's really gotten me about McDonald's is that when I forget and I go in there, and it's a 100-mile round trip for me, so it's not exactly, a common occurrence for me. But if I'm, running around on the rig, sometimes I'll go in there. And I look at the pricing, and I'm like, let's see here. It's $7.95 for a meal deal.
Right.
An extra buck, I can go down two blocks to a ma-and-pa store. They will cook it to order for me, and I can sit down and they'll serve it. Yep. And I'm supporting a local couple.
Yep. Buck and a half.
You betcha. Plus tip. And I'm happy to do it. So, maybe more polite people on the counters will help them, but it just keeps reinforcing. Every time I walk into a place like that, I remember why I'm so lucky to have so many family-owned restaurants up here.
I know.
And I'd like to jump on that, if I may.
And they're happy to see you. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Ahead. That's just it. A little Barry knows this one, because I scream and jump. And you guys, you Michael as well, but for the five listeners, I am a huge proponent of little diners.
Mm-hmm.
I love diners and locally owned restaurants and a place you can get some homemade meatloaf and mashed potato and a plate of green beans and over any kind of chain place, and especially fast food. And the idea behind it, my wife really has started to educate me on your McDonald's story here, which is at best you can loosely call what they serve food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
loosely. It's so pumped with sugar and chemicals and flavor additives to get you addicted to eat more of their crap, and it's all empty calories. Your body turns around and goes, this isn't fuel, this is shit. Yeah, I'm full, but there's nothing I can gain from it from a nutritional standpoint to fuel you to keep you moving for the next 6 hours.
I mean, it's the same thing with the restaurants. My wife refuses to go to chain restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about like the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Or, a TGIF or, any of those. She does not like to go to those. She will go to a regular restaurant or a local restaurant. And the same thing with fast food or even Chinese food. We'll go to the local Chinese place or whatever. Right. Rarely. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you that we have a McDonald's in Jaffrey. We have lived here 15 years, and I can count the number of times I've been to that McDonald's on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
She has taught me. I used to go to fast food stuff all the time.
Yep.
I don't anymore, and I appreciate what she's showing me, and your wife's the same way. I understand it, and you get much better food. And
absolutely. I would much rather go home. And the funny thing is, it comes with age and responsibility, mm-hmm. taking care of yourself, what have you. But I've got kids, teenage kids. Michael's got teenage kids. Barry, you and Bri have nieces and nephews, and it all applies. Where you say to yourself, well, the kid's like, oh, I'm hungry. You know what? Wait that extra 10 and a half minutes. When we get home, I'll make you a sandwich, or I'll put together. Even if you're going home and making, for lack of a better choice of words, grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup. Now you say to yourself, the American cheese that you bought at the delicatessen at the grocery store, yes, there's probably only about 65% or 75% actual cheese cultures in that slice of American cheese. Mm-hmm. However, it's real bread. I know what's in the bread. I put butter on the bread. I put the cheese in there, put it in a cast iron skillet, hit it with the sandwich press, and some tomato soup. And he said the kids are just as full, took 10 minutes longer, but you know what they were eating, and it wasn't garbage. Right. It wasn't some mystery pink slime patty meat, chemical injected, who the heck knows what. And, you know, they walk away with just as full of a belly, and at the same time, do you feel a little bit better because, you know, at least I know they ate food.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I've even stopped eating at the, their prices have gone up and are ridiculous, but you know, the cafeteria at work, I'm bringing in my own food now because I'm sitting there and I'm calculating it out, and it used to start off I'd eat at the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Wasn't great food, you know, I was just too lazy to bring my own in. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'd maybe on a real expensive day I'd spend $5,
right?
Yeah. Well, that $5 has moved up to $10 now.
Right.
In a short period of time. And I'm like, I'm not spending $10 on crappy food.
$50 a week on food that I'm not all that enthralled about.
Right. So now I pack my lunch and we got microwaves at work. And, you know, mm-hmm. I go and nuke it. And,
yep.
And we all sit down there. And almost everybody's doing it now. So I have a feeling the cafeteria is probably on its last legs.
Close up. Yep.
And they'll have the cafeteria to eat, but they're not going to have food there anymore.
No, you know what? At every dinner, matter of fact, I did it tonight. I says to Debbie, what do you want to do for supper? And she says, I don't know. She said, I'm going to run to the store. I said, you know what? I looked at my son. I says, how about something off the grill? I said, we need to put, my wife's a vegetarian, so mm-hmm. she doesn't get excited about throwing meat over fire, you know, with seasoning on it.
Yeah.
But so I thought, you know what? I'll grill up some steaks. I'll do some chicken. And every meal when I'm cooking, whether I'm doing just the meat or the whole meal, mm-hmm. for dinners, I always cook an extra portion for my lunch for tomorrow.
Yep.
It just, and I went so far, I'm so adamant about this. My wife said, she goes, it's smart because it saves a ton of money, but rather than throwing it in Tupperware, and because you throw the Tupperware in the microwave, and I did it for years and still in some cases do. She says, but you know that plastic leaches into your food, leaches chemicals into your food. It's not supposed to.
Hmm.
So she, Ziploc of all people, and I'm not trying to plug them or anything, but Ziploc, you know, like the Ziploc sandwich baggies made by, who the hell makes Ziploc? Well, I don't know. But they make a range of glass, like, bowls that are like the old Pyrex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it has a snap-on lid, and that does have a rubber seal on it. So she's like, buy one good bowl. It's glass. Yes, it's heavier than plastic, but you know what? It's glass. It ain't going to leach anything into my leftover dinner for my lunch.
Huh.
And so I bought one good glass bowl, cost about $6.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big one because I like to bring enough food. I like you guys.
Yep.
You end up at work at 6:30 in the morning. You end up eating a little bit around 10, which let's call that breakfast.
Yeah.
Yep. Then you end up eating lunch sometime between 1:30 and 2 o'clock. 2:30 is when you start firing down the rest of it. Yep. And then you got a little bit maybe left over just before I leave work at 6 at night. Where you're like, I'll take the last two spoonfuls of that, eat it, and then jump in the car and go home.
Yeah. I guess I'm odd. 11:30, I go eat lunch, and that's that's all I eat for the day.
I eat when I can between calls. So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
You eat when you get the chance to, because you may not get a chance later.
I know many people like Josh who bring in their little lunch carrier thing, and yeah, they're eating out of that thing all day long, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there.
Right, but I'll grab a yogurt. I throw my yogurt in there, and I'm a real big fan, and I know I shouldn't say this, but I love, you know, them cheese peanut butter crackers?
It's funny, because I take them, too. I take them, too.
Them cheddar cheese, and I can't tell you what in the hell's in it and what they use to make it, but man, I love those things in a cup of coffee.
Well, and speaking of, we might as well go down the list of other, we're saying here, oh, we eat nothing but good food and everything, and my wife truly does it is that way. And ever since we've been married, you know, I have what she considers good cheese. She buys nothing but the best kinds of cheeses and things like that. And it's good. I like it. But I have to say that one time she was making mac and cheese from scratch. And one of the ingredients was in with it. I think we had this discussion once before, but okay. she had to buy some Velveeta cheese to mix in with her four other type cheeses. The recipe called for it, and she was very ashamed that she had to go
horrified
out, that she bought this Velveeta. And you know, I opened, of course, the nice thing about Velveeta is you can store it on the shelf until you open it, and then it's got to be stored in the refrigerator.
because it's not real cheese.
It's quality cheese. It's eight types of cheese.
It's cheese.
Anyway,
basically vegetable.
But that day, you know, I had the mac and cheese, and I said, "Oh, this is wonderful. This is, I mean, it was really, really good." And I said, "But boy, I taste a flavor from the olden days in there." And she had to admit that one of the ingredients was Velveeta. Yeah. And I said, "Velveeta? Where?" And I opened the door to the refrigerator, and I look inside, and there's that yellow box, and I went, "Oh, Velveeta! I love Velveeta cheese. I love it on everything." And I made such a fuss about it that to this day now she has been buying it for me. She doesn't touch it, but.
Right.
You know, you want to make a quick, I mean, we're talking a quick grilled cheese sandwich that doesn't require a grill. Pop some toast in the toaster, pop it up, stick some Velveeta in, stick it in the microwave for 30 seconds or less. Bam.
Grilled cheese
sandwich.
I actually used to do toasted cheese sandwiches for
the tomato
kids.
Soup.
Tomato soup is good too.
with grilled cheese, yes, you betcha.
Yeah, for the dipping purposes, however, I used to do the toasted cheese sandwiches for the kids. You know, flat white bread. Yeah. Boom. Now, and white bread again. It's all junk, turns to glucose in your system, which is nothing more than sugar. It'd be better if it were on a piece of pumpernickel or a piece of rye. But, you know, you can't make a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich with rye bread. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work. You need it on white bread. But same thing. Slice the Landolates White American. Man, I could sit there and just eat like five slices of that in a row even before it hit the bread.
Oh yeah. I'm turning off all my mail programs because I've been hearing dings coming up across here.
Oh yeah, I thought I heard a couple of
dings. Yeah, I usually kill those before I start. But, yeah, Velveeta, and, yeah, talk about, you know, you can put a piece of bologna or ham in there sometimes in your fake grilled cheese.
Oh, that's now a gourmet meal.
Oh, and you know what else I like to do? And Sammy loves this, too. Sammy and I, we love Velveeta. Mm-hmm. I'll make scrambled eggs, mm-hmm. and then right toward the end, after they're almost all ready to go, mm-hmm. you put in some diced up Velveeta cheese and mix it in with the scrambled eggs.
You mean an omelet?
No, it's not an omelet.
Well, it's like an omelet.
Well, it's like a cheese omelet.
On eggs.
But it's mixed in with the eggs. You know, it's not
it's not folded into it. Right,
right. It's really good. And it makes a mess out of the pan. So,
oh, well. That's why they have dish soap.
That's right. And actually, what I usually do is pour a little, was it Dove? Not Dove. Yeah, Dove.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the? Is it,
yeah, that's one of them.
Pam.
Yeah.
Pam.
No, Dove. And you put a little Dove in this, and when you're done with the pan, you put a little Dove in it, stick it in the sink, and put hot water in it, and let it sit there for.
Just leave it sit there for the afternoon.
Yeah. It'll loosen everything right up. So, almost ready to just throw it in the dishwasher after that. I'm a firm believer in the dishwasher.
I am the dishwasher. Anyhow, wrapping that subject up, though.
Yeah.
Again, pulling for the mom and pop restaurants.
Definitely.
You know what you're getting. You go to places on a regular basis. They know what you want. When I went down to Wisconsin, you know, we've lived here 6 years now. I stopped in at a restaurant with a friend of mine just to have lunch before I came back up on my last trip. The owner and his wife came out to say hi. They asked how my wife was doing. They asked how my kids were doing. They must be taller than me now, and I wish I...
You there, Michael? Hello?
Michael?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Michael. Michael, we lost you.
What happened?
Oh, no. Hello. Oh,
there you go. You're back.
Back. Jeez.
Skype!
He has to wait till I start to talk. Yeah. Where'd you lose me?
How tall are the kids? The kids must be
taller. The kids are.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, but anyhow, the owners of the restaurant came out once the... Because the wait people had been there since the 80s mm-hmm. and recognized me and told the owners. The owners came out. I mean, it just makes you happy that you've gone to places like that. Because know what you're getting.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's definitely worth it.
And the restaurants up here, the fish are bought fresh from the local Native Americans that have the fishing rights to go out in the lake and get the fish. So it's all local food.
Yep.
Well, not all, but a lot of it is. The eggs are, a lot of my neighbors have chickens and raise their own eggs. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so you know where stuff's coming from.
Yep.
That's just the way to do it. My wife's real big into buying the heirloom seeds now. You know, literally growing. She said that we were talking about it earlier. Said,
really?
You know what?
I'm sorry, but based on her postings and Facebook, I thought she was a big Monsanto fan.
Oh
yeah,
yes.
Right.
Oh yeah.
You're reading her postings differently than I am.
I actually said to her, I said, I want to get some good corn, you know, so I can, you know, heck, I'm half Native American. I'm like, I want, you know, corn's in the blood. It's maize.
Josh, I was going to say, we pronounce it maize.
Maize. Yes, we do. Well, I call it corn.
My wife did that to me. They were here for a cookout. Couple summers ago, and she brings out corn on the cob and she puts it down and she goes, now Jess, we pronounce this maize.
Well, Anne Marie, I was born in Philadelphia, not on a reservation. I call it corn.
Oh, that was funny.
Good times, literally. So, yeah, she's going to be growing some for me this year, which is great.
Yeah, guess what I found out? I got, for Christmas, I got my wife one of these little seedling starters with the little heater thing. Mm-hmm. And she started her seeds, and they're popping up now. And there's these tall ones that are popping up all over. I said, what are those? They're growing a lot faster than the other. She goes, that's the corn. I said, we're growing corn this year? She goes, yep. And she goes, oh, by the way, did I tell you have to dig up another garden for the corn? I said, oh, thanks for telling me.
Yeah. You know what? It's worth buying a rototiller.
I have a little one. Mm-hmm. I have a little two-cycle one.
Okay.
It does a pretty good job as long as I don't have to rip up, you know, 20 acres or something. But...
as a kid, my dad bought my mom a walk behind one, you know, where you put the rod down,
yeah,
and the front wheels, it would pull itself along. It's just a Briggs and Stratton motor, but it had the tiller,
yeah.
And you know, my job was to always go out rototill the two gardens, and I swear to God, that part of Pennsylvania, I think the soil was made of granite. I couldn't get that stuff to turn to save my life until I realized if I took the rototiller, engaged it so it was trying to pull itself forward. It used to have a rod that would drag behind it. And if I pulled it backwards while it was rototilling, hell, I could go 14 inches deep and flip the soil.
Pennsylvania was known for their clay soil, which was rock hard if it wasn't wet.
Yep. Yes, sir. So, it was.
Yeah.
We got some good corn out of that. So, I mean, we had some big, you know, one garden's 100 feet long by, I don't know, 35, 40 feet wide.
Yeah.
And ain't nothing as good as growing your own vegetables.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We're going to expand the vegetable garden this year, and God only knows, I may actually start tending to the vegetable garden this year, because last year we got a lot of good vegetables out of it.
Hell yeah, I remember coming up, you're like, here, take these bags of this and bags of that. I'm like, what? Why? You know, what about you guys? Trust me, we've been eating them nonstop. Yeah. Take some, please.
And it's amazing because you've seen it. We've only got like, we've got raised beds out there, and I made three raised beds. Probably, they're 8x4. Mm-hmm. I have three of them out there, and all that came from those three 8x4 beds out there. And I think we're going to put a couple more in this year. And one, like I said, she's got, what'd she say, 12 things of corn. So it'll be interesting. I'd like to see the corn.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Of course, we're probably going to have to put fences around it, too.
Going to the deer are going to eat it like you're about.
Yes. And have to have Sammy go down there and piss around the
yeah. Exactly. And then I'll be up there eating it too. So don't.
Yeah. Damn it. We got rid of the deer, but that damn Josh is there again. Get out of there. Hey! Get out of there. Oh, my. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it this year before they tax us on it.
Oh, before they make it illegal. Like, yeah. Michael, you know, the day you told me they made it illegal, what was it? When to use a rain catch? Where the heck was that? Was that you say it was in Colorado?
Well, it's all over, but Colorado's one of them.
I'm to this day, I'm still dumbfounded. You mean you can't? They made it illegal for you to catch water falling from the sky. Who the
all part of Agenda 21?
Oh,
pay attention to Agenda 21.
Oh. You said that, I don't know all the gory details, but my wife has it, and so listen to the next political QRM. I'm sure they'll bring it up. Which is probably scheduled tomorrow night to be recorded. We didn't get it this weekend. But she read a thing, and I'm going to have to find the story. But Maryland is now taxing people. If you're a homeowner, they tax you for the amount of rain that falls on your property.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
They have found a way to tax nature.
A water runoff.
No, and that's what they say, because the water comes on your property, it runs off, and they have to take care of that, so they're going to tax you every time it rains now.
Well, people are moving out of, what is it? My wife was telling me, out of Connecticut for different reason, by droves.
Yeah.
As of the last month and a half, I'm trying to remember.
It's probably because of the new gun laws there.
Because they made it illegal for you to pretty much do anything, not just gun related.
Yeah,
everything's government damn near controlled. So it's a buddy of mine. Like, I actually currently have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got a dozen 55-gallon drums that I got saved up that split with a buddy of mine for just that, rain catches.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect for gardening, so you don't use it up your well water, or in this case, city water. And as a matter of fact, Barry J., I had to bring some of those up to you.
Yeah. If you got... we could definitely use that. And,
water in the garden.
Yeah. That would be excellent, because, you know, basically when we water the garden, it's coming out of my well.
It's coming out of your wall, right? If you had a couple of rain catches behind the new future shed.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's not unsightly.
Yeah.
And but there you'd have it where you hook up a garden hose to it, and you can go water the garden off from rainwater.
That's not a bad idea. Huh. Okay. Yeah, I'll take a couple.
Okay. Not good, because I got to get rid of them. I swear I'm storing them now.
Yeah, that would be cool. But... yeah, it's just getting ridiculous out there with the rules and laws. And as somebody, I saw another thing. It was actually somebody posted on Facebook, and they were talking about there used to be this guy that from 1884 up through the 20s or 30s, he was the socialist, he belonged to the Socialist Party, ran for president every election and lost. And he finally gave it up, and they said, "Why are you giving it up?" He goes, "Well, the Democratic Party's adopted my entire socialistic platform, so I don't have to run anymore." Mm-hmm. So, there you go, folks. If you don't think socialism exists, it's already there. And it's getting worse by the day. Whether you like it or not, I personally
don't
like
listen.
It.
I don't want to listen. I'm going to have to turn my sound off because, see, I'm on a very upbeat mood right now.
I know. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. If you want the rest.
I'm smiling about going to diners and hopefully own restaurants. And if we end on a sour note, I'll just be pissed off for the rest of the week.
Yeah, if you want to hear all what's going on there, but in kind of an upbeat, funny way, you listen to Political QRM. Because
yeah,
it's the Lou will make you laugh, and Anne Marie will get him there. So let's go on to this is very cool. This next story, go ahead,
let's
Michael.
Let's skip to that one.
Oh,
my cursor's at
yes.
Yeah.
That was on Amateur Radio Newsline this week, and I heard that and I said, I got to share this. One of the guys that owns a retirement home. I have to go back and get the rest of the story, but his father used to be a ham radio operator, and because of that, he eventually became a ham himself. And then he found a lot of the people living in the retirement properties that his company owns are hams. So, as last I heard, they have installed 3 ham shacks throughout the properties, so that the retired hams had someplace to go and operate, which is really a cool thing because I'd say when I was really active in the hobby, and I just haven't been able to until recently as I'm still putting things together, but I'd say over half of my friends that I talk to on the air are retired, and they, that's how they talk to their friends.
Right.
So this gives us, generally if you go off to a retirement property, there's no room to put up antennas and a ham shack and everything else. If they're providing it for you, I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's an awesome, awesome thing to have happen.
That is fantastic. I mean, you could put it in the community center or whatever, and there you could have an antenna up, and it's not going to be unsightly, especially if you live in, and this obviously is a retirement home. I don't know whether it's a center like a gated community with separate houses, like an over 55 neighborhood, or it's an actual, retirement center. But either way, I mean, when you think about that, even with the 55 and over, everybody has a community center. You could put a tower with the community center. It wouldn't be unsightly at everybody's house, and you could have amateur radio station in there, and people could go and find out about it, and operators could go and use the equipment. It's kind of be like the ARRL headquarters. They've got the old Percy building that you can go and actually operate if you want to. They've got all sorts of equipment there. So that is neat. And
so there's a link in the show notes there, and yes. It goes to a newspaper article, talks about how this all happened, but I think it's really cool.
And believe it or not, amateur radio is starting to grow again. So.
Jeez, I can't imagine why.
It's growing. Let's just put it that way. So we're not going to get into some of the people that are joining amateur radio for other purposes, but it is growing, and it's not just because of that. It's mostly because people are interested, and it's a fun thing to do.
It is. Yeah.
And I've
been studying, by the way, gentlemen.
You have?
Yes, I have.
Hey, by the way, it's usually my birthday weekend. I'm just telling you, Nearfest is coming, Spring Nearfest. I believe it's May 4th.
Righty then, we will be going and have maybe we can do a late night QRM field trip audio.
Maybe we could. That would be kind of fun to do.
I think it would be. Hey, guys are walking around with their portable rigs in the bags on their back. we can walk around and literally a 7-foot boom antenna coming off the top of their hat. I think we can walk around with a microphone or even a small video camera, videoing and taking an audio of what we see and what we do.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah. Or we could just take my iPhone.
Hey, we could use my BlackBerry, and then I could use a pen and paper.
come on. We used your BlackBerry once before. Remember all those frickin' carrier pigeons that had to go back and forth all the time? It was kind of annoying.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Bob Stuff. I like how he spells it.
Yeah, I do too. I happened to catch it in one of his posts on one of the social media sites this afternoon. I'm like, oh, really? Now, this is Bob Goyich, formerly, although I guess theoretically it's still part of the Bob and Katz show as much as I am part of the virtual Uper and Ubercast. Anyhow, so somebody presented an app to him and said, hey, there's an easy way of throwing podcasts up really quickly, you know, using this app. And he thought, oh, that's cool. And he decided to do it. And I don't want to spoil it, but for the people that are into Canadian Podcast Buffet and all of the stuff that Bob Goyich and
I know who you're talking about.
I'll come back. Anyhow, he and Mark started Podcasters Cross Borders, among other things. So, cool stuff. Really short. Gee, what an interesting concept. He's gone back to short podcasts.
Oh, like, great. I'm gonna subscribe then.
They're like 8 to 10 minutes a piece.
Cool. I like, you know what? Yeah. I like it. Even though we're going on 2.5 hours here, I do like short podcasts. I love short podcasts.
The irony. I love
Mark
short
Levis.
Podcasts.
I couldn't think of Mark's last.
Three.
Mark, but yeah, so Bob and Mark are just legends in podcasting from Canada. And this is something that got him going again. And he's only got 4 out so far. I listened to him back to back while I was making dinner tonight and just had a blast. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah. I used to listen to Bob and Kat all the time. And they disappeared. They were fun.
Yep.
So, yep. So, and with that, oh, yes, the giant voice. Yeah, I made one up last. I was sitting around.
That was a good intro.
I decided to make my own. If you're a No Agenda fan, you'll know they've been talking about the giant voice communication systems that some towns have, which is a, you know, you've probably seen them. There's these huge horns that are 360, and they usually you just hear, you know, well, you hear, well, you know, like tornado horns, or you hear something like this. Let me find it. Oh.
All clear. All clear. Resume normal activities. All clear. All clear. Resume normal activities.
And that was I was having fun with the mixer board and Audition. created
That's
that.
Good. You did a good job there.
That is good.
So that was for all our other in the morning folks that may listen to us. So ITM folks, but I love that podcast. I know it's a little. It's talking about 2 hours. They go almost 3 hours now, but they just I just get entertained by what they talk about in the conspiracies.
Twice a week.
Yes, and the conspiracies they come up with, and Adam is truly far out there sometimes.
But he'll be enjoying his new Google Fiber in Austin.
That's right. By the way, I just saw on Twitter that he was QRV to 7.3 on CW. So if you're an amateur radio person, you know what that means.
Yes.
If not, get a book, get your license, and find out. Okay, we better wrap this up. So, we have a musical guest tonight, Les Dion, and his song, Getaway. But before we leave, hey, all you military out there, both CONUS, OCONUS, thanks for what you do. You OCONUS guys, we're going to get you back here real soon with your family and friends. And until next week, oh, and thanks, I think I said thanks for what you're doing, but thanks again for what you're doing. And
absolutely.
And until next week, from the southwest corner. I almost said southeast. Yeah,
nope,
what
that's
doing
me.
From the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the previously mentioned southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And we're still waiting for spring. I'm Michael, the virtual Uper.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Here's Les Dion.
strife. Can't find harmony and strife. Oh, yeah. If sick and tired, why you crying? There's no one to blame. Stuck alone in the twilight zone, you know it's such a shame. Different reason. That same old thing. Gotta get away. Wanna get peace of mind. And get away. From all that drama. Get away. You better leave it all behind. And get away. Don't need all of that drama. Did I say no one really cares? Let's be fair. Look in the mirror at yourself. Besides God, ain't nobody else who does. If you're sick and tired, why you crying? There's no one to blame. Stuck alone in the twilight zone, you know it's such a shame. The wheels don't turn no faster when you just sit around.
Samson, speak. Good boy.